नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमः। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 10। क्वचित् निवर्तते क्वचित् निवर्तते अभद्रा क्वचित् चरन्ति तत्पुनः प्रायश्चित्तां अथो अपार्थम् मन्ने कुंजर सौचव। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। समटाइम्स वन हु इज वेरी अलर्ट सो एज नॉट टू कमिट सिनफुल एक्ट्स इज विक्टिमाइज बाय सिनफुल लाइफ अगेन। आई देयरफॉर कंसिडर दिस प्रोसेस ऑफ रिपीटेड सिनिंग एंड अटोनिंग टू बी यूजलेस। It is like the bathing of an elephant. For an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust all over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Purport. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired how a human being could free himself from sinful activities so as not to be forced again to go to hellish planetary systems after death, Sukhdeva Goswami answered that the process of counteracting sinful life is atonement. In this way, Sukhdeva Goswami tested the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit, who passed the examination by refusing to accept this process as genuine. Now, Maharaj Parikshit is expecting another answer from his spiritual master, Sukhdeva Goswami. Today we are reading the verse which is very often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, where the verse says that this process of atonement doesn't work, and the analogy is given is that of elephant's bathing. That elephant bathes himself, cleans up very nicely in the water, but as soon as it returns to the land, again he will throw mud and sand on his body and again becomes dirty. So similarly, the process of atonement, in the sense like a person commits a sinful act, then he repents, takes some prayaschitta, and again he does the same thing. So why this thing happens? So the similar question was asked by Arjuna to Lord Sri Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In the third chapter, he asks, when Lord Sri Krishna instructs him about various activities, a duty of a man, that he has to perform his duty according to his dharma. So after hearing all those instructions, Arjuna asks this question, that why is that a person who knows that we should not do these things, this activity is improper, but still he does that activity? Why it so happens? In spite of having a knowledge that this is improper activity, still living entity commits that act. So why it happens? So in answer to Arjuna's questions, the Krishna replies is, it is the lust which is the arch enemy of a living entity. That the lust means a desire to enjoy that is there in living entity, and living entity tries to enjoy as much as possible whatever sense gratification is available, whatever sense objects are available, tries to enjoy himself. Because of this enjoying propensity used in a wrong way, living entity, in spite of having knowledge that this act is improper, still keeps doing the same thing. So when the original desire, which is to please Lord Krishna's senses, is turned into gratifying one's own senses, then the whole trouble starts. Instead of using everything in the service of the Lord, we start using everything in our own senses. And Lord Sri Krishna gives a very nice analogy there itself, that no matter how much sense gratification you provide to your senses, the senses will not be satisfied. An analogy that is given is that of a fire. If you want to extinguish a fire, then you have to stop feeding fuel to it. If you keep adding fuel to the fire, there is no way the fire will be extinguished. So by giving the example of a fire, Lord Sri Krishna clearly states Arjuna that he has to do something about this enjoying mentality the living entity that has. And then Lord Sri Krishna makes it very clear that lust is the arch enemy for one's spiritual advancement. And if this is the enemy, then where it is located? So the location is also given. If somebody wants to fight with the enemy, he must know where the enemy is. So it says that the senses, mind and intelligence, these are the sitting places of lust. So how do the senses function? The senses, when it's influenced by the lust, it is attracted towards the pleasure and it is repelled by the pain. And the senses, what they do, when they see the sense object, they send that image to the mind, that this is a nice sense object available, which can be used in sense gratification. So the function of the senses is that it will be simply sending lots of images regarding desirable or undesirable objects to the mind. And next function is, the mind is like a storehouse of all these impressions sent by the senses. Mind keeps holding all those things, keeps storing. Yes, this is a sense object which I need. This sense object I'll be able to use in future. So the mind is just simply like repository of all sensual impressions. So it just keeps holding. And the mind becomes occupied by the lust. And then next comes is the intelligence. So the intelligence, when the images of lust arise in the mind, and when the desire attacks the intelligence then starts functioning, how I can get this sense object. And it starts making plans to fulfill all the lusty desires of the mind. And then what happens is, Srila Prabhupada reinforces that when a person is swayed by the lust, tries to satisfy the lust, which will generate the self-conception, or it reinforces the false ego of a living entity. And what living entity thinks is that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So this is how the whole thing starts. First his mind will send the images, first the senses will send the images, mind will store it, and intelligence will start planning it. And then person again and again keeps repeatedly doing the sinful act. This is the same thing Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring, that why a living entity is again and again performing sinful act, even though he knows it, even though he takes it some sort of prayashchitta atonement. So what we have to understand is that the sense object is external and the mind is internal. So when the signal is sent to the mind that this is the nice sense object, now how the mind interprets? When the mind interprets that this sense object is for my sense gratification, then it leads to karma bandhan. But when the mind thinks that this sense enjoyment or this sense object or this object can be used in the service of Krishna, then you are free from the lust. So ultimately it's how your mind interprets. In one sense the sense objects are neutral, But the way the mind interprets, yes, this is for my own sense enjoyment, will determine your future. If the mind interprets in a proper way that this object can be used in Krishna's service, then you are free from this whole cycle. But the moment mind starts thinking that I can use this for my own sense enjoyment, then the whole trouble starts. And that's how one has to train one's mind in a such a way that instead of going for the enjoying spirit, you have to turn the mind to the serving spirit. Because mind will always be thinking that how I can enjoy this sense object. And in this material world, the most topmost enjoyment is considered as a sexual enjoyment. And what happens is the living entity feels that he is the enjoyer, and it's like the epitome of one's propensity to enjoy, where he feels that he's a controller, he's the enjoyer. But the fact is, when person has got this understanding in his mind, and when he starts interpreting all the things that comes in one's mind to enjoy oneself, then he again keeps doing the same thing. Because what happens is, when you are staying in this material world, the so many sense objects will be bombarding on the mind. Because one has to keep eyes open when he goes outside on the street. It's not that he can close his eyes and walk. And once the eyes are open, naturally it will be attracted to the beautiful images. When you are walking, we have to keep our ears open. If the ears are open, naturally they will be attracted to the sound vibrations. So to live in this material world, we cannot shut our senses. So the senses will always remain open. Like we can take the example, like if you keep these doors open, light will come. You can't avoid it. You can't say the doors are open and still light can't come inside. So when you are living in this material world, the bombardment of sense object will always remain. But the crux of matter is how mind interprets. If mind is trained in a proper way to interpret, then you are in a safe condition. But if mind is not trained to interpret in a proper way, then this sense object will drag you to this process. Few days back, like we celebrated Ramananda Rai's Disappearance Day, and we learned so many lessons from his life. And one incident that comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one day it so happens that Pradyumna Mishra, who was a Brahmin, and once comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he requests Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please instruct me about topics regarding Lord Krishna. I want to hear from you about Lord Krishna's glories. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies it that I hear these topics from Ramananda Rai, so you please go to Ramananda Rai. He is qualified to speak about these topics. At the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appreciates that it's good that you have developed the taste for hearing about Krishna Katha. Because Srimad Bhagavatam says that if you follow all the duties of your varna, all the duties of your ashram, and you execute everything religiously, but if this thing ultimately doesn't lead to devotional service of rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Lord Sri Krishna, then everything is simply waste of time. It's just a shrama eva kevalam. It's simply the useless labor. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciates that you have developed this quality of hearing about Lord Sri Krishna. Because whatever activities we are doing, it ultimately it should lead to this understanding about the attraction of listening about Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. And then he instructs him that you go and listen these things from Ramananda Rai. So when Pradyumna Mishra comes to Ramananda Rai, Ramananda Rai was busy. He comes to his house. So Ramananda Rai's servants, they receive him very nicely, give him place to sit. And when Pradyumna Mishra inquires about Ramandarai, they replied that at present he is busy training two young girls and he is teaching them how to dance and he has taken them to a secluded place. So they go on describing about all the activities Ramandarai is doing it. And Pradyumna Mishra sits there, and it Krishnadas Kaviraj describes that Ramandarai had written one drama for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. It was named as Jagannath Vallabh Nataka. And in that, he has written how the gopis are expressing their feelings towards Lord Sri Krishna. So in order to perform this drama, Ramandarai would take two young beautiful girls and he would personally instruct them how they have to express those feelings in the drama. And it is explained that when Ramandarai was explaining all these things to these two young girls, there was absolutely no desire of personal sense gratification. So even though he was dealing with them, it was as if he's touching a piece of a wood or a stone. His mind and body was not affected at all, because he was thinking that these two girls are gopis and he is their maid servant. So his duty is to simply serve these two girls. So even though he is in the presence of such a beautiful sense object, because his mind is interpreting it in a proper way, absolutely there was no change in his mind or in his body. So when afterwards Ramandarai comes back to his home, since it was too late, Pradyumna Mishra simply greets it, but he doesn't say that I came here to inquire from you about Krishna Katha because it's getting late, and once Ramandarai starts speaking it will be very late. So he just comes back and informs everything to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this, he replies it that I am sannyasi, I am supposed to be in the renounced order of life. But what to say about seeing a woman? Even if I hear the name of woman, I feel change in my body and mind. But Ramandarai, he says that his pastimes are such a wonderful and uncommon that it should not be actually spoken. These pastimes on the platform of spiritual level. It's on the spiritual platform. And it is just a prerogative of Ramandarai to act like this, because his body is not material but the spiritual. And since he doesn't have absolutely no personal desire, even though he's acting like this, his body and the mind is steady as that of a stone. Absolutely, there will be no feeling for sense gratification about himself. And he says that why he has attained this place, position, I have got some clue from Srimad Bhagavatam, that when a person develops an attraction about hearing the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, or when one hears Krishna Katha, naturally all impurities in the heart are purified. So because Ramandarai has developed that kind of taste, by simply always remembering Lord Sri Krishna constantly, he is able to attain this position where his mind is steady. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him that you hear these topics from Ramandarai. I also hear it from him. And at present moment, he is still in the assembly house. So immediately you go there and hear all these topics from him. So when Pradyumna Mishra understands the position of Ramandarai, the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, he again comes back and requests Ramandarai that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed me to listen the Krishna Katha from you, and that's why I have come here. So in a great humility, Ravindra Rai replies that I am not the person qualified to speak. I am just an instrument. Whatever I am speaking is Lord Sri Krishna is speaking through me. It's just like an instrument. We have a tambura. So whatever a person, a musician, does to that instrument will vibrate. So similarly, I am simply a puppet in the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever he wants me to speak, I speak. So it's not my personal glory. And then he inquires what topics he want to hear. And then Pradyumna Mishra replies it that I want to hear about the topics that you discussed in Vidyanagar. And then whole day they go on discussing about the Krishna Katha. So the point that we can understand is that one has to understand that how the mind has to be always engaged in serving rather than simply enjoying our own senses. Because many times this question was asked to Srila Prabhupada that I am being troubled by Mr. Lust. The lust is troubling me, and how I can counteract lust from my heart. And Srila Prabhupada would always reply that you should chant the holy name of the Lord sincerely. So what is this chanting? Chanting is a sincere prayer for the service. That we are praying to the Lord that please engage me in your service. And what is the lust? Lust means simply enjoy. So one has to transform one's consciousness from enjoying to the serving. Then only one will be able to counteract the lust from one's heart. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for anyone to counteract this. And for this purpose, one has to have a proper understanding about the spiritual existence and the material existence. Because there is absolutely no training about the spiritual knowledge. So Prabhupada would always ask this question that we have got so many big universities and so many institutions, but they are all discussing about the bodies. But there is no institution who teaches about the soul. And that's how every child, since its childhood, is being given this understanding that you are this body and you have to take care of this body. If you study well, then you will be able to get a job nicely. If you get a job nicely, you will have a good pay. And if you have a lot of money, you will be able to enjoy nicely. And if you see all the newspapers, all the media, from everywhere, there is this bombarding goes on to the spirit soul that you are the enjoyer and sense gratification is the ultimate. And that's how the living entity tries to enjoy one's senses and then gets trapped. Here Maharaj Parikshit is asking the same question that why again and again the living entity is doing the same thing? Because there is not proper knowledge. The devotee of the Lord, he has a proper knowledge. He understands what one has to do in this material world. Again, we can refer to the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Rai that of all types of education, which is the best education? So Ramananda Rai replies it that no other education is as important as devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that material education will simply increase one's sense gratification. And no matter how much you earn in this material world, it's going to end with the body. So the best form of education is that one understands that Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and it's my duty to serve. If this education is not there, then what happens is that person simply gets trained to enjoy one's senses. So when Hiranyakashipu asked this question to Prahlad Maharaj, what did you learn? So Prahlad Maharaj, being devotee of Lord Sri Krishna, immediately replied that one has to perform 9 process of devotional service and attain to the Supreme Lord. He was saying the perfection of life is to render devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. So the devotee of the Lord has got this proper understanding, what is spiritual life, what is spiritual existence, and what is material existence. And because he is able to distinguish it properly, he is able to take the proper decisions. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks that what is the most glorious activity? Who is the most glorious? In reply to that, Ramananda Rai replies it, the devotees of Lord Krishna is most glorious. He says that who is considered as most renowned or most respected in material world? A person who has got a lot of wealth is considered as very important person. He gets lots of respect. So that's why there is a competition in the society that who can become the richest. So there is a lot of competition, and then person works hard so that he can become the one of the most wealthiest person. And then what happens is that ultimately the body dies, and when body dies means this glory that he has achieved is simply a temporary glory. So that's why in the scripture it's very clearly stated that the devotee always prays that if I get a position of a Brahma, but if I don't get devotional service, then I reject that. And in contrast to that, if I have the body of an insect, but if I am able to perform devotional service, then I prefer that. Because the clear-cut understanding is there. Even Brahma also explains it to Bhrigu Muni that I did tapasya for 60,000 years just to understand the dust of lotus feet of gopis, and still I couldn't understand it. And I can say not myself, Lord Shiva, even Lakshmi also doesn't understand the exalted position of the gopis. So this is how one can understand that who is the most glorious? A person who is a devotee of Lord Krishna, he is glorious because his glory is permanent. Whatever glory one attains in this material world in relation to one's body is just temporary. And then next question that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks is, what is the greatest riches? What is the great wealth? In reply to that, Ramananda Rai replies it, that the one who has love for Radha and Krishna, he is the richest person. Why that person is the richest is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that a devotee of Lord Sri Krishna is the richest because even goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi, takes the shelter of Lord Sri Krishna. So what it is difficult for devotee to obtain, but still, even though they can obtain anything in this material world, still they don't desire anything that is connected to this material world. They simply desire to serve. And this is the greatest riches, this is the greatest wealth one can have, is a service unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. And the next question Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks is, what is the greatest distress in this material world? In reply to that, Ramananda Rai says that separation from the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna is the greatest distress one can have in this material world. If you have no association of the Lord, devotees of the Lord, that is most undesirable place. Because in the association of devotees, we can perform devotional service, we can have this understanding that we are the servant. That's why in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is stated that the greatest thing in this material world is that a person gets the association of the devotees. Then he asks that what are the auspicious and beneficial thing? So in regard to that, the reply is that when person has got association of the devotees, that is most auspicious as well as the most beneficial. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what should be the constant remembrance of a living entity? So Ravindra Rai replies it that one has to have constant remembrance of the holy name of the Lord and qualities and the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. That should be the constant meditation of a devotee of the Lord. Then one can be understood to be successful. Then he asks, of all forms of meditation, which is the best meditation? So Ramananda Rai replies it that the meditation unto the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna is the best form of meditation. And then he requires that where should a living entity live? So living entity should live at the places where Lord Sri Krishna has performed his pastimes, like Vrindavan. Like Uddhava also aspires to become a blade of grass on which gopis can trample in Vrindavan. So that's how the devotee desires to have stay where the Lord Sri Krishna has performed different kinds of pastimes. Because these are the places one can able to have the remembrance of Lord constantly. After that he inquires, what is the chief worshipable object? So Ramananda Rai replies it that the holy name of Lord Sri Krishna is the chief worshipable object. And the best topics to hear is regarding Radha and Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquires it that who is the most fortunate person? So in that he requires the person who has attained the love of God of Lord Sri Krishna is considered as the most fortunate. So in this discussion we can find out that the clear-cut marking is there about material existence and the spiritual existence. And devotee of the Lord has got clear-cut understanding that whatever is there in this material world has to be used in Krishna's service. He has got this understanding. And this knowledge is available only in the transcendental literature that is given to us. And this knowledge will not be available for us anywhere else. So what one can learn by understanding this transcendental literature is that one has to change one's attitude. The attitude is how I can enjoy in this world. But from that enjoying attitude, one has to change to the serving attitude. And that is very important to learn. Because this, when you say that one has to serve, usually person thinks that service means it should be done by a person who is a pune or is in the low income group. So the lowest person is supposed to serve. Whereas I am at the top level. So I should be getting the service and not serving. So this is the attitude of any materialistic person. That he feels the service means it's a person who is a low skilled person or who is a low economic status, he should be serving. Whereas I should be enjoying. So one has to get this out from his mind. That the moment you are attached to receiving, then you will be in this vicious circle where you will be keep repeating sinful acts again and again. So the service means it's not connected to any position. Every living entity has to learn to serve. So when we say about service, then how devotee has to behave? Is devotee is always concerned about others than one's own benefit. Just few weeks back, we celebrated the disappearance of Jayanand Prabhu. So once a devotee asked Jayanand Prabhu that how is that you are always happy? So in reply to that, he said that I never endeavor myself for the happiness. I am always busy to see to it that others are happy. So actually this is a key to become happy in this material world, is to always be concerned about others' happiness. That means person or a devotee has to endure to know about what others need, and one has to be available to them, help them whatever they want. So we can see that Jayanand Prabhu was always concerned about other devotees' welfare, what other devotees need, and he was available to them. So when person makes himself available to others, means he starts thinking about serving others rather than simply enjoying the oneself. And this service has to be come out of love. It's not like one is compelled to serve. Anyone will serve if you are compelled to do that. Or if there is a crisis, a person can serve. Or sometimes a person appears to be serving, but a motivation for serving is a self-promotion or manipulation to get some material object. So one has to see that the proper service attitude means we serve out of concern for others. Like we see that there is a need to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world to everyone. And when we see this opportunity, we have to serve without expecting anything in return. Like we see in the example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was concerned that in this material world, so many people are suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. And I have to give this Krishna consciousness to these people. And for that purpose, he went to USA in such an advanced age. So we can see the devotee of the Lord, he has this heart of serving out of love. He is very concerned about others. And Srila Prabhupada was serving without any expectation. It's not that he was expecting something in return for himself. His only expectation is that people in this material world, they are simply suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. If they take to the process of Krishna consciousness, they will be happy. And because of that, he took so much of hard work. Even though he was at such an advanced old age, he was taking great efforts to spread this Krishna consciousness. And that is always the attitude of a devotee, to remain concerned about others' welfare. Like we have seen in case of Jatayu. When Jatayu sees that Mother Sita has been taken away by Lord Ram, and it is his duty to protect Mother Sita. So that time he knew that he has practically no chance to win this battle against Ravana. So when he was serving, there was no expectation. The Mother Sita also said that you just informed that Ravana has taken me away. She was also not expecting that Jatayu should fight with Ravana. But still, Jatayu knew that this service I have to perform no matter what will be its outcome. So this is the mentality of a devotee that is simply fixed up in service, and that's why he is not attracted to the material sense object. What was the consciousness of Ravana? That whatever beautiful objects are available, it is for my own sense enjoyment. So his mind was thinking that it's for my enjoyment. And that's why he headed for the trouble. Whereas devotee of the Lord, he was thinking that I had to render service. So when one has this attitude to be served than to serve, then we are heading for the trouble. Why this thing is happening? Like why the living entity keeps doing sinful act? Because he has this attitude to be served rather than serving. So this enjoying propensity has to be totally eradicated from the heart of a person. And unless that enjoying tendency is eradicated, we will be keep doing things again and again. Because what happens is, when we are in this material world, we became attached to whatever position that we have. Everybody is like, in this material world, if you see any politicians or somebody, they will be so much attached to whatever position it. They won't give it up, that position at all. Or any other person, Everybody has to have, many people desire that I have to be the chairman of the company or managing director of the company. So all the time person is simply about consciousness, conscious about the position, because he thinks if I have that position, I'll be able to enjoy more. But what is the instruction that is given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that one has to be completely devoid of position consciousness. And that's why he speaks at that Naham Vipro means I'm neither the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, or neither I am a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyasi. I am simply the servant of Lord Sri Krishna. I am simply the servant of servants. So one has to understand that when person becomes attached to one's position, it becomes very difficult for him to serve. That's why we could see the Brahmanas in Kali Yuga. They were simply attached that they were thinking themselves as a Brahmanas. They are in the superior position, even though they don't have any qualification to act as a superior person. Simply they were expecting some service in return. And because of that, we could see that person, when he expects a service from others, when he has no qualification for himself, then simply he tries to gratify one's senses. So that's why one has to see that one's attitude has to be to serve in this material world. And that's there is another incident in the life of Jayanand Prabhu which we can see, that how he was so much fixed up in this service attitude, even the last moments of his life. So when he was hospitalized, and this is a remark made by the doctors there, they saw Jayanand Prabhu and other patients. So their observation is that all other patients admitted in the hospital, their expectation is that the doctors, nurses and hospital staff should be serving them nicely. And if they don't do things in a little improper way or improper way, then immediately the patient becomes irritated, he complains. So the basic attitude of all patients is to expecting lots of service from others, from his relatives, from his friends. Whereas they could see that this person is a flag end of his life, he's in such a painful situation, but simply he's concerned about others' welfare. Because he would be always inquiring about the devotees, where the devotees are located, how they are doing their services, are they facing any difficulties or problems, and how he can rectify, how he can correct the situation for them. So even the doctors could see that this person has got attitude to serve, and he doesn't have the attitude to be served. So when a person has got this attitude to be served, he is into the most dangerous position in this material world. All the living entity, the problem that he is having is of enjoying mentality. And that's why one has to see that somehow or other we have to educate our mind into service mode. It's not so easy for a mind to accept a position of a servant. So that's why one has to at least start doing service with the body. The mind will give so many excuses not to serve. But when we start doing service at least with the mind, eventually the heart will follow. So that's why we have to, even in the temples, we have to have a position of a temple commander or service in charge. Why? Because we are not so accustomed to serve naturally. So, but one has to understand that somehow or other, one has to change one's from enjoying mode to the service mode. Even though mind may give so many reasons not to serve, one has to simply start serving. Eventually, the heart will follow for the service. So, if you see this verse where it is stated that Maharaj Parikshit has passed this test, Sukhdev Goswami replied, he gave answer that living entity should follow the process of attainment. But Maharaj Parikshit says that no, this process doesn't work in this material world. And it will not work so long as the living entity doesn't give the consciousness of enjoying in this material world. There is no way he can be happy in this material world. So if somebody has to get out of the problem which Maharaj Parikshit is concerned about, that why living entity, even though it knows it, all those things, still keeps doing the same thing again and again, is that one has to change the attitude from to be served to serve. Hare Krishna. So is there any questions or comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.